How is it going, everybody, and welcome to the January 2019 Investors Digest. I know I'm getting out on February 1st, a day late. Sorry for that. I apologize. We're waiting for some few data to come in and just honestly find time to get doing and shoot this video and update everything on the spreadsheets that kind of came in late throughout the month. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it. So reviewing the December numbers, the average sales price rose up only 0.18% increase year over year to $260,081. Median sales price was up 3.4 though to $209,900. Total sales increased just a little bit of 1.2% up to just shy of $2,500. The average rental price, it was up 3.4 though, which is good to see because this had been holding steady around like the one, two, low twos. So to see it kind of going up to 3.4, really kind of shows that, hey, rents are starting to increase and keeping pace with the rental prices and can kind of help us out with our yields that we always look for as investors. The employment was just over 1.15 million, which is a 0.99% increase year over year. And we lost 443 jobs from the previous month, from November. Not really concerned about 443 jobs when you're talking about 1.15 million people employed. Unemployment increased a little bit by 0.1%, but that's really nothing that I'm too worried about. If I saw that start jumping 0.5%, 1% for several months in a row, I would start to become concerned with that number. But we are still well below the Texas average and well below the national average, which just came out today on February 1st, and it's holding steady at 3.9. So employment and unemployment numbers are looking good here in the micro market of San Antonio. Month's inventory was at 3.94, which is kind of average for the time of year. November and December are kind of your historically highest month's inventory, and they start to fall off from here because not many people are looking to buy houses there over the holidays and during the winter months, kind of the cold months of the real estate cycle. But this was a 0.2% decrease from the previous month, so that's good. Here's a chart that you can kind of see the median sales prices and what I kind of track and look at. So you can kind of see how this looks over the time. If this is the first time you're catching on to this and watching it, I'll give a little explanation. Is what you're seeing here is the real estate cycles where they kind of go up and down, up into the summer, down into the winter, up into the summer, down into the winter. And it kind of holds steady with that. So for ourselves and our business, we try to time everything, getting it on the market right there, that April, May, June, July time frame, because that's your highest point that you're going to get your median sales prices up and people are paying more because that's everybody's moving around. We try not to, as much as possible, sell in the months down here as far as the winter months. So if you're holding on to a rental property, try to get that. If you're looking to sell it, try to prolong it to where you're going on the market in the summer months. Monthly rents, we're sitting right at, sorry about that. You can kind of see the monthly rents follow the same cycle. It goes up in the summer, down in the winter, up in the summer, down in the winter time. So something that you can go and structuring over the time of the year is structure those leases to where if you're doing those 12-month, 18-month, get them to where they end right there on that April time frame. That's what I do with my rental properties. I just signed one here this last month, and I wanted it to end on April. So I signed an 18-month lease, so it follows all the way through until April of 2020 that she would need to renew her lease or I'd need to find a new tenant. So that's where if I'm needing to increase my rents, that's going to be good. That's how I actually structured all my leases, but I had a tenant break a lease early. And it took me several months, and I had to drop the rent $50 a month below market rent to get the thing rented because it was on the market for 3 months. And it's like, well, I can't have that. So I started dropping the price until I got my tenant, which was $50 below the previous tenant. So that's why I try to structure those leases ending here going into the summer months so the demand is higher. So keep that in mind. The 20-year unemployment, like I said, is why I'm not too worried about any kind of increases because we are at historical lows for the unemployment rates. So, but if I did start to see this kind of back when I saw June of last year, we were seeing really kind of jumps of 0.5%, 0.7% month over month like we did back in 2007 and 8 and even over here back in the dot-com bubble, that's where I would start to become worried is when I'm seeing big jumps month over month really climbing unemployment. That's when I'm really going to be start worried and wondering if what's going on, looking for other data to see what's happening and expect that to kind of roll over into the real estate market, because if people are losing jobs and they're not being employed, that means they're not buying houses, companies aren't moving, everything's kind of slowing down across the market, and I would expect to see that to roll into real estate prices because nobody's really buying at that point in time. So I also tracked the overall appreciation as well, going back to June of 2011, which was right around the bottom of the real estate market slowing down before it started kind of going back up. And so you can see that right down here, where in the end of 2011 going into 2012, we had 6% negative year-over-year appreciation. But then by April of 2012, we were up in the 6%, and we've been kind of pegging out there for quite some time. So you can see the total average over this time frame is sitting at 5.2, but in the last 12 months, we are higher than that at 5.8%. Now, this can't continue forever, so this is why I track this stuff, because the historical average for real estate prices is right around 3 to 4%, and we're sitting at 5.2 since 2011. Now, wages are only increasing at 2%, maybe 3%. So you think about that, prices cannot continue to rise like that, where you just basically outpace affordability and people's ability to continue to afford homes. Not saying you'd slow down about as far as sales volume, but I could see appreciation stopping, and then your month's inventory kind of start to increase with that, which would stop adjusters from giving appreciation numbers and adjustments for that on the sales prices. And I did hear an article and listen to somebody that did a prediction for 2019, and the National Association of Realtors put out a report that basically and summed it up and said, unless something macro across the world really changes, they do not see a buyer's market really coming to fruition for the next 5 years, which is a very long time. So it's a great time to be seller and owning property, but if you're trying to get into those properties, it makes it difficult because there's not a lot of inventory for you to choose from. And they said there's a shortage of 2 million homes across the United States, which is what is driving their assumptions that we're not in a real estate bubble, because back in 2007 we had 2.6 million oversupply of homes in the United States. So a little bit different. So I'm not too worried about a real estate bubble crashing. If something macro happens, I wouldn't see prices falling like they did, but I could see sales volume really slowing down just because people aren't moving around as much, companies aren't as hiring jobs locally and moving to new markets and expanding. So now the question becomes, where do you market? Where are those forces that prices are going to be driving them higher? Where's the most in-demand real estate in the in San Antonio? And what I do this by is I do it by two different metrics, one by zip code and one by price range, so you can kind of use those in your dynamics of where you want to market or where you're looking to buy property, if that is exactly what you're doing. So by price range, you can see here in San Antonio that, now keep in mind that where they say the balance between buyer and seller's market is 6 months of inventory. So anytime we start really dropping below that 6 months of inventory, we're getting into a seller's market. That means there's more people trying to buy homes and not enough people selling homes. So that puts that supply and demand equilibrium out of force or out of whack, and that makes prices start to increase, which is what you're seeing here. And you'll see here on the next slides as I compare December 2016 to December 2018, so you can see 2 years what these low months of inventory can really equate to. But now our most in-demand housing here in San Antonio is that $150,000, $200,000 price point, and that is basically, that's your entry-level starter home. But also the problem with that is, and this is also where the most sales volume sells, this 100 to 200 price range and up into 250s a little bit. But this is where the most sales volume in San Antonio currently is. It's also, that's why that's the lowest months of inventory as well, because it's the most in demand. The problem with this is they're not building houses in those price points that people are really in desire, that are desirable. I've seen some local home builders, not local, but big home builders trying to push down, getting to where they can fuel this demand. And there's some selling here in San Antonio outside into the county a little bit, away from city tax, that are selling houses for $140,000, but they are no garages, three bedroom, two bath, 1,000 square foot square houses, not much detail to them, but that's the only thing they can build to get the profit margins they need on the volume they need to make it profitable to get down into these price points. So if you got a 1,800 square foot house, three bedroom, two bath, with a two car garage sitting at that 170,000 price point, it's a very in demand house here in the San Antonio MSA. Now, excuse me. Now I do it by the other way of where's the best zip codes. And now you can see, now for those of you that don't know and those of you that do know, 72-51 is a very large zip code off on the northwest side of San Antonio. A lot of sales volume in there. And it's sitting at 1.72 months of inventory. And what that really means is if no new houses got posted for sale in less than 2 months, every single house in that zip code would be consumed by buyers. So this is why you're seeing these massive drivers from 180,000 to 212,000, a $30,000 jump from December 16 to December 18. And that's what this really illustrates of these low months of inventory, how much this price appreciation can really drive a lot of these numbers. So you can kind of go all the way down here and see where these are sitting at. But now, like I said, if you're trying to I'm a licensed real estate agent as well. And if you try to represent buyers in these price points, in these zip codes, you really don't have much negotiating power. And if you're renovating houses, you can get away with like builder grade stuff, putting carpet in bedrooms, putting carpet throughout the entire house, because there's not that much inventory for people to choose from. So you don't have to spend a lot of money on the high-end granites to try to make your properties move, do a lot of the fancy things that buyers really want, because they don't have a lot of choices. So now the caveat to that is the worst zip code. Now, I'm not saying these are bad zip codes, because you can see right here that these have appreciated very nicely as well, except for obviously down here where prices fell drastically. And this is kind of an anomaly, because going back to 2016, there it looks like there was a lot of new home subdivisions that was driving this number to really way up. And now those have all sold, and it's back down to the 277. So it's kind of, it throws it off a little bit. But what I say, this is the worst zip codes. This is the area that are much higher price points, and taking it back to this, the price points of the month's inventory across the city, they're sitting at 5-6 months. Now, what does that really mean? That really means if you're renovating that area, you got to do a little extra. You got to do a little research. You got to put a little finer things. You can't get away with not putting in the high-end granite, the floors throughout, doing a lot of landscaping, making the house look really pretty, and increasing what I call that intrinsic value. It's not what the appraiser is going to look at, but it's what the buyer looks at that makes them really want to buy this house, make them come in and go, oh my God, I love this house. I want to put it off right now, versus, eh, it's nice, but I want to travel to all these other houses in this price point and go take a look. So that's something that you might want to spend a little more money in the kitchens, the bathrooms, the landscaping, the pictures, spend more money on the staging to make sure your house is not the one sitting on there for that month's average of 6 months. Because if you're paying hard money costs at 6 months, that's coming every $500,000. That hard money loan, that interest is coming straight out of your bottom line every single month. Now, something I find do a little interesting, and it pops on every now and then, is a 78207. Now, historically, this was the absolute cheapest real estate in San Antonio. It's a very large zip code directly west of downtown. Always had high months of inventory, or just not high months of inventory, but never really made it onto my market reports because I don't put anything on here that doesn't have at least 30 houses that are active for sale. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, like that was, there wasn't people using those houses because people weren't putting things on the MLS because no realtor wanted to represent somebody for 3% on a $40,000 sale, because all that equates to $1,200, and then the broker's going to take a bunch of money from that as well. But what I'm seeing is this is appreciating nicely to where people are putting them on the market and investors are buying them and driving these prices up. So I'm running short on time, but one thing that I kind of do look at as well, 78202, this is the Dignuity area. Everyone's jumping in there, high appreciation. Oh my God, everyone wants to live in there. But look at your month's inventory. There were 60 houses for sale and only 3 sold in December. Keep that in mind if you're one of those people that's trying to jump in here just because they're trying to chase appreciation, thinking it's going to continue to go up. You've got 20 months of inventory, and there's a lot of houses sitting on there for people to choose from. Especially if you're listing something well over the average price point, you really need to drive to get that thing, those prices up there. So that's the end of it. If you have any questions or comments, email me at john@primehomes.com. Check our podcast on wherever you get your pods from and search The Investor's Journey. And if you see you guys next month, run out of time.